Father, I thank you, Lord, for this season. It's a season of thanksgiving, it's a season of joy. Pray that this joy will carry through with us, not only on one day, but the rest of the year and even beyond. Thank you, Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we will be intentional about being glad in it and rejoicing in this day. For the Lord has made this day for us. We were not made for the day. Therefore, Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We glorify your marvelous name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We honor you, Lord, and say praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to give a very short share and then let you speak. I pushed off the continuation of the Book of Romans, chapter 12, until tomorrow by the grace of God. Today, let it just be Testimony Friday, sharing and blessing the Lord. Yesterday was Thanksgiving Day here in the United States. And I am sure that all across this great country, there were clusters of people gathering together to say what they were thankful for. We did that also in our family. And we thank God for the joy. I want to talk about the joy, of the season. I want to talk about that. It's something that we can actually experience, you know, every day. Unfortunately, sadly enough, there were a few people around the world, probably even several people, that did not feel quite joyful. Yesterday, some people, because of someone that was missing in their close circle, at this time of the year, you know, it has been said that, you know, sorrow, depression, sadness often sets in. People remember their close family members that are not with them. Whether it's a parent, a child, a sibling, or whatever. And, you know, some people also who are not able, either because of physical separation, to be with their families, you know, sometimes depression sets in. Well, we want to blow that thing apart completely during this season by the joy of the Lord. You know, we're not going to let, sorrow and sadness set in. And sometimes, you know, people also, for whatever reason, because of challenges and various things, might weigh down on people. And we want to, be sure that we have reason always to praise the Lord. Actually, everybody has a reason to praise the Lord. You know, for as much as you woke up each day, you know, found that you are in the land of the living. You know, people go to bed and never to wake up again. But as long as you're alive, well, that was not the case. So that right there is a reason to praise the Lord. Plus, when we think back on what the Lord has done for us, you know, the grace, the love that drew that salvation plan, the grace that brought it down to us, and the knowledge of God that is in our hearts, the knowledge of the holy also, teaching us to deny ungodliness and unrighteousness and all these things and come closer to the Lord in a life of sobriety and godliness. I mean, all these things that God has done for us and daily loading us with benefits. Praise the Lord. And, those are many reasons. for us to be joyful. In the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, we are told, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue in those things, and if be any praise, think on those things. Hallelujah. That's right. You know, so that means you have to intentionally channel your thoughts to things that are true, things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, and things of good report. Remember those good reports, the good testimonies of the Lord. Remember the things, you know, that are worthy of praise and thanksgiving. And those are the things we ought to think on, and not to allow our hearts to be drawn into sorrow because of whatever. There are some practical ways, you know, that we can avoid being drawn into depression. The scripture says in Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, you know. Those are the things that your heart should be set upon. Where Christ seated on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above. You know, this is the antidote most times for depression that comes from not having things. Yeah, you know, if we don't have material things, depression may set in. But if our heart is not set on those things, well, then depression cannot overcome you. If your heart is set on the things above, the problem is sometimes, most times, we allow our hearts to be set on material things. And so when those material things are not forthcoming, then people go into depression. But if you set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, what does that really mean? Let's talk about it for a bit. The things that should excite you and wow you, you know, what are those things? It should not necessarily be your next paycheck or your next bonus or your next new car or your next new house, you know, or your next, you know, material blessing of one kind or the other. I mean, these are the things that consume us from day to day. Well, then if those things are not there, there's a likelihood that people will succumb to depression. But there are some things that could blow back that depression. It's what I want to talk about today. And if you set your affection on the things of God, what does your prayer look like? You know, does your prayer, look like the prayer of the unbelievers? All the unbelievers, among them, many of them can pray just the same way we pray. But what do they pray about? God help me, you know, God save me, God help me, God help my child, God do this, God do that. You know, they may pray like that. Some of them have the knowledge of God somehow, and they may pray when they are in trouble. And if our prayer is not any better, Jesus said, your righteousness may exceed, you know, those of the Pharisees. If our prayer is always, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, then really, you know, we're no better than everybody else. Jesus said, look, Matthew chapter 6, these are the things that the heathen seek after, What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? Give me this, give me that. I want this and I want that. I said, but you, your posture, your way of life shall not be like that. Ye will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Set your affection on those things. Those are the things you should go after. So the things that should excite you. Praise the Lord. The testimonies of the Lord are good, but our testimonies, and if this testimony of the Lord is sure also, but our testimonies and the things that excite us should not only be about material things. And our prayer should not only be about material things. What about the kingdom of God? The things that relate to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, nevertheless, the grace of the Lord is also present to see us through and to give us joy at different times. You know, one thing that the Lord spoke about, Isaiah prophesied it concerning him before he came. He picked up the book or the scrolls of Isaiah, read it in the synagogue and said, well, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Well, part of all of the things that he asserted on that day, I will read to you right now. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's those who are depressed. To proclaim liberty to the captives. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. See? Part of the things, you know, people mourn for various reasons, not only the loss of a family member, you know, people get into mourning for whatever reason, rather than being happy and glad and rejoicing in the Lord, you know, mourning can set in for whatever reason. And it does so much so at this time of the year. So I wanted to come out here and, blow that right back away by the word of the Lord. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. You know, put an ashes on your head. You're the daughter of the king. You're the son of the king. You shouldn't put ashes on your head. You know, your head should be lifted up. Glory to God. Appoint unto them that mourn. Give them beauty for ashes. This is the antidote. God's antidote for mourning. You know, and ashes, and you know, we are in depression. We don't want to be seen. You just seclude yourself, put ashes on your head, wear sackcloth. This is what they used to do in the old days. But the Lord said, I'll give you the oil of joy instead. For mourning, I'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Sometimes when we are heavy, saddened, and sorrowful, of the praising the Lord can break that thing right there. Hallelujah. So that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's the ultimate thing. The Lord wants to be glorified, not in our sorrow. He's not glorified in our sadness and putting ashes upon our head. He's glorified when we have joy and gladness, when we are in the spirit of praise. Hallelujah. You know, that's when the Lord is glorified. There are some things also that we must do on our own. You said, well, it's easier said than done. Well, maybe so, but you got to practice doing these things, you know. Yeah, it's something that scripture says we must do. Isaiah chapter 52, verses 1 and 2. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, you know. Yeah, you know, The way you dress might be an expression of the joy or the sadness. When people put sackcloth on or ashes, well, it's an expression of sorrow and sadness and brokenness of spirit. In a bad way, you know, then, but when they dress up, put on your beautiful garments. That's right. Put on those beautiful garments, you know, for from henceforth, he said, you know, all the things that bring for depression and sadness, and depression can mean any number of things. So when things, you know, instead of being up, you're down. Yeah, that's depressed. Even sometimes they talk about the economy being depressed. It's like a valley. It used to be up, now it's down. So it's called depression because it's low. And but here's verse 2. I love this verse, Isaiah 52 and 2. Shake thyself from the dust. And that's right. Get rid of that dust. Don't put dust on your head or ashes on your head. Arise and sit down. Loose thyself from the bands, O captive daughter of Zion. Don't sit down there and let, you know, bemoaning your losses or whatever. Yeah. I call this snap out of it. Yeah. Get out of that, gloomy mood. How do you do it? Well, by praising the Lord. You know, by thinking of all his goodness. Yeah. One song says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. And this is the time to count blessings rather than counting your woes. If you count your blessings, you'll find out that God has done tremendously more than the times of difficulty. But those times of difficulty, you know, they must be there. For thus saith the Lord, he said, ye have sold yourselves for nothing. You know, because our hearts are in the wrong places. But the Lord said, I will be your redeemer. Not with your money. He redeemed us by his own precious blood. There are many reasons why we have ups and downs. When you testify of the goodness of the Lord, it will help you. One of the things that we are told, some of the ways that you get victory and you get the joy of the Lord. His testimony of the Lord. See, make wise. Even the simple. Revelation 12:11 said they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Well, and I often say that, well, that means, you know, you can use it as a weapon. For your testimony though, for the word of your testimony, to be used as a weapon, you have to use it while the conflict is still on, not afterwards. Testimony can be any number of things. You go into a court when a case is being, presented. You have the prosecution, you have the defense, the litigation is going on. Well, people are called to give testimony. Right? You can say, is it your testimony that such and such? And you give testimony. Yeah. Even expert witnesses are brought in to give testimony. It's not after the fact. It's not, their testimony is not after the case has already been decided. The testimony are actually part of the elements and evidence that will be used in deciding the case. So, bring forth your testimony. Hallelujah. And, let's see what you got. Praise God. Don't wait until it's all over before you come and say, well, yeah, Lord did great and so forth. Well, that's good too. But, you know, break forth into joy. And sing together. It says in Isaiah 52 and verse 9. Ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. That's right. You know, you may not see it fully yet, but you must trust that he has done it. And you come out and testify, and you use that thing to give the devil a black eye. Yeah, you got to use that testimony as your weapon or part of your weapons, even during the conflict. Before you see the end of it, you testify. You say, I will be the father of nations before you even have a child. You change your name. You say, don't call me Abraham anymore. From now on, my name will be Abraham. For I will be the father of many nations. You don't even have a child. But you change your name to father of nations. That's how you do it. Praise the Lord. You carry that testimony with you. Praise the Lord, you know. So, and you know, in the Jewish culture, in my culture also, where I grew up, in the Yoruba culture in Nigeria, we have a culture, you know, of naming children, you know, around circumstances of when they are born. You know, and, you know, also naming children prophetically of what you want them to be. You know, that's just part of our culture. I think about it sometimes and say, wow, that's really good. You know, but some people name their children after the sorrow of their heart and they give them names. You know, in the Bible, the Jewish people, they would do that, you know, say, well, the Lord has forsaken me, and so on and so forth. And they will give all these names. But they are sad and depressed. And if you have a child during that time, you know, then it's like, oh my goodness. You know, that child will bear, you know, the name of the, the problems that they were having at that time. Or if they felt that, you know, the hand of the Lord was strong against them, and they would give a name, you know, to reflect the sorrow that they are going through, and so on. Well, okay. You can actually turn things around. You know, the name you, what you name a child, will be upon them. That name will be named upon them. Can be prophetic. People shouldn't give children just any kind of name, because, you know, that name will follow them. Well, you should also name your days. Today, I name it praise. Glory to God. You can name your day, you know. That's right. You heard it. You heard it from me now. You can name your day. God used to name things. He said, look, your walls shall be praised before me, O Jerusalem. Even your windows shall be made of agates and beautiful things. Let's see how God names things, using names to blow things back. Hallelujah. Now, here's what he says in Isaiah 54. Sing, O Barenda, that this not be a break forth into singing. That's one of the things. I can blow back that depression. Cry aloud, you know, that I did not travail with child. More are the children of the desolate and of the married wives, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tents. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Glory to God. Neither will thou be confounded. Thou shalt not be put to shame. Thou shalt even, forget the shame of thy youth. You know, and thou shalt remember the reproach of thy widowhood no more. And so on. I mean, it takes many things to tell them. And then we jump down here to verse 11. O thou afflicted, See? And when people are afflicted, what does James say? He says, is any man afflicted, let him do what? Let him put his head in under bulrushes and put ashes on his head and wear sackcloth. No. Let him get a gallon of chocolate ice cream and sit down all wrapped up all day long and eat their sorrow away. No. Let him pray. You know, when you are depressed, afflicted, you got to pray. Pray by what? Well, pray unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord. You know, all that afflicted, tossed with the tempest, are not comforted. Are not comforted. Behold, see, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Well, you can call your stones fair colors. You can call your foundations sapphires. I will make your windows of agates. And these are beautiful jewels. You call your windows agates. Carbuncles, borders, pleasant stones. You can call your windows salvation and praise and so forth. You know, you can wake up today and look at yourself in the mirror and say, today, I name this day praise. Glory to God. And if you are able to do it, the Bible says you can command the womb of the morning. Can you do it? God asked Job, well, in Job 38, he said, you know, has thou commanded the womb of the morning since thy days? Can you do it? Well, absolutely. If you know how and you have faith, you can use that. Faith is amazing. You know, Jesus said you can speak it and it'll come to pass if you don't doubt it, but you believe it. Glory to God. You can speak that this day will be a day of praise in the morning and blow back that, you know, misery and, sorrow and sadness, you know, people will experience it during this season. I don't know why. I'm always joyful, especially during this season. It's greatest time of joy for me. But, you know, some people are sorrowful. And sometimes for due reason, we don't make light of that, but the Lord can help you through this lesson today to know how to push back, you know, those things. In righteousness shall thou be established, he said. Even your children be taught of the Lord. Great shall be their peace. And a lot of blessings. A lot of promises. You know, you'll be far from oppression. Thou shalt not fear from terror, because it will not come near you. You know, but you got to take your posture. You know, what kind of posture will you take? Well, you know, let's listen to how a man who lost everything, what kind of posture he took. In Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17 said, what? The fig tree may not be blossoming. There may be no fruit in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail. I mean, this man has done everything. You know, watered the garden, do all of this. Work hard to, you know, make sure that they get fruit during the planting and, you know, the tendering season, looking for something, but nothing came. The fields yielded nothing. The flocks were cut off from the fold. There was no herd in the stalls. I mean, it's like, you know, they lost everything. In finances, you might call it bankruptcy. You know, they are at the lowest ebb, that everything's gone, you know. What is his response? Well, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Now that joy and that gladness must never depart from your mouth and your heart. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. No matter what I've lost, I will joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength, and he will yet make my feet like hinds' feet. Huh, that's right. It will make me to walk upon my high places again. That's right. One time you are up, now you are down. You know, but this man said, well, yeah, but I'm going to be up again. See, you got to speak to yourself. David was a man that knew how to encourage his soul in the Lord. Encourage himself for Psalm 30 and verse 6. When he was down, when people even spoke of stoning him, because of all the evil that befell him, because they followed him to a war that did not even concern them. They came back their wives and everything was taken in the story of Ziklag. And they cried until they had no more strength within them. And they all grumbled against him because of you that this happened to us. And they wanted to stone him. David himself cried. You know, but what did he do? He said, well, in Psalm 42, he said, why are thou disquieted within me, O my soul? You know, why is the strength gone from you as if, you know, you are, can't see the light of day? And he began to speak to himself. He said, well, I will yet praise him for the light of his countenance. You know, rejoice, he told himself. You know, he stirred himself up, encouraged himself in the Lord. You got to do it. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord. I mean, sometimes God will send an encourager to encourage you, but most times you'll be on your own. And you got to learn how to encourage yourself, you know, in the Lord. You say, well, things are good for me right now. Well, yeah, but you're going to need this message. You know, because just as surely as you are up, there are times that you are going to be down. That's just the way it is. The book of Ecclesiastes 7 and 14 gives us the secret. Rejoice in the day of prosperity, he said. Well, but remember to consider in the days of adversity that God has put these two things, prosperity and adversity, and put them side by side. Well, why? Well, to the intent that men should find nothing but seek after him. If you are prosperous all the time and no challenges, you may forget the Lord. And if you have challenges all the time and no days of prosperity, you don't get a break, well, you may go into depression and blaspheme the name of the Lord. So the Lord, you know, it's a balance, up, down. Well, but what's your response? You know, when you are up, well, James said, if any man is happy, let him sing psalms and be joyful and so on. Well, I say to you, even when you are not happy, you try to sing some psalms, try to encourage yourself in the Lord. And, you know, put on your praise, put on beautiful garments, praise the Lord. Well, some people say dress the part. Yeah. If you dress gloomy, you might actually be gloomy. If you anoint your face, you know, put on your beautiful garments, act like you're happy, you know, you might be happy. Praise the Lord. Well, happiness is something that we walk up, but the joy of the Lord is inside. That joy of the Lord is something that cannot be taken. It should not be taken. Though he slay me, Job said, yet will I praise him. Yet will I rejoice. Yet will I joy in the God of my salvation. Joy and gladness. You know, testimonies and thanksgiving. This must be the order of the day in our lives. This is how we live a victorious life. You know, testimonies. Talking about the goodness of the Lord. Reminding yourself about the goodness of the Lord. You know, reminding the devil too, you know, about the goodness of the Lord. That's very important. I will speak of thy testimonies. Psalm 119 verse 46. And I will not be ashamed, even before kings, he said. You know, and of course, in the book of Psalm 19, he said, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Well, it's really the testimony of the Lord in your life. It's not your testimony, but it's a testimony about the doings of the Lord. That's really what the testimony of the Lord is. You know, what has the Lord done? Whereof we are glad. Say, well, the Lord has done great things. Whereof we are glad. In the moments of sadness, remember the glad times. Hallelujah. You know, the times that the Lord has done great things. You know, and if you really think about it, you will see that the great things that the Lord has done, they actually outnumber, you know, the challenges and the different times, you know, that we may be experiencing. Psalm 126, verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. In fact, when we allow sorrow due to hardness and different times that we're going through to take away our joy and take away our praises, well, that's a slap in the face for the Lord. You know, are we going to praise the Lord only when the times are good? Or praise Him in the morning? Praise Him in the noontime? Praise Him when the sun goes down? Whatever, at any time, you know, praise the Lord. You know, Psalmist said in Psalm 30 and verse 5, sorrow may endure for a night. You know, we always have, everybody has sorrow at some point in time. There's nobody that's not going to be sorrow, but don't let that set in, you know, deal with it. Jesus even said, well, even a woman has sorrow when she's about to give birth because of pains. But joy is coming when she holds that man-child in her hand. Sorrow may endure for a night, but it can't last forever. No night has ever lasted forever. Because God divided the night, the darkness, from the light. And He called the darkness night. And the light He called day. He divided it. And He said, yeah, let these seasons be forever. You know, they will be like that, you know. Night and day, side by side. You know, and I was sharing yesterday with my family, I said, well, you know, God had the opportunity to blow that darkness away forever. But He didn't. He could have abolished the darkness. Could have said something like, let there be light. And let the darkness be no more. Well, but He didn't say that. As a matter of fact, He kept, not only did He keep the darkness, He gave it a name. Names have purpose. So God gave the darkness a name. You can't have it any other way. In the day of prosperity, you rejoice. In the day of adversity, you consider. You know, and we got to be able to show the Lord, you know, what stuff we are made out of. And show the devil too. You know, you must endure hardness. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 3. So you got to be rugged. You got to endure hardness. You know, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, got to endure these things. You know, so a good soldier must know how to deal with all kinds of things. You prepare for a lot, but then you prepare for even the ones that you did not prepare for. That's what a good soldier does. You know, plan for what you know. You prepare your mind for the unexpected. Yeah, things can come at you in any different way, or many different ways. But what would be your response? You know, so time and chance, Ecclesiastes say, happens to everybody, and so on. I've saw, you know, he said, I saw under the sun vanity and vanity. Well, you know, that's one way of looking at it. You can think that all is vanity. I don't think so at all. You know, I think of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If you allow your heart to be set on these things, then, you know, when you don't have them, then it's all vanity. So, what's going to be your response to, you know, tough times and hard times? You know, and when you have, you know, sometimes we allow ourselves through momentary lapse in judgment to be saddened or sorrowful because of, you know, put our heart on something, but you must, you know, snap out of it. Say, shake yourself from the dust. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck. Now, you don't need anybody to do it for you. You can do it yourself. And, you know, don't sit down and wallow. You know, get up and rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Praise the Lord. The joy and the voice of joy. Well, if you know how to be joyful, the Lord will give you even more reasons to be joyful. Remember, he that hath shall be given more, and he shall have the more abundance. Praise the Lord. You know, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. Jeremiah 30 and verse 19. And the voice of them that shall make merry. That's right. Let that be the signature for over your house. The house of joy. Glory to God. You know, and I will multiply them, they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Glory to God. And joy and gladness will proceed out of you. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness. It's a choice that we have to make. You can choose, you know, to echo the voice of sorrow, and you can choose to echo the voice of gloominess. You can choose to sing the blues. Nobody knows that sorrows. I hated that song when I was a young man. I didn't even know why I hated it. But I hated it. And then later on in life, I realized why I hated it. Because it was gloomy. I don't like gloomy stuff. And, it was a reflection of, bad stuff, you know. What sorrow have you seen that nobody knows? There's nothing new under the sun. Some people think that they are the only one that's going through. You're not the only one that's going through. So a lot of people, you know, there is nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. What is yet to be has already been. There's nothing that, we're going to face. Paul puts it out this way. He said, look, I am persuaded that nothing but are things present or things to come. We read that when we were doing Romans chapter 8. Didn't matter. None of these things separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Well, in the moments that we allow ourselves to be depressed and will not even praise the Lord and go into seclusion and like that, it's like, well, we are saying that the devil got the upper hand. Don't give, the Bible says, Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Don't even give him any chance. Don't give the devil an opportunity. As a young man many years ago, I made up my mind that I'm not even going to dignify the devil with him trying to think he got one over me. You get nothing, devil. Never. Praise the Lord. You will never get anything. You know, you're not going to do it. I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, you know, everybody deals with things differently. I understand that. So I'm going to pray for everybody, because the Lord wants you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And these are elements that can make you strong. Thanksgiving, testimony of the Lord, joy and gladness, these are choices. You can choose, when we say, hey, anybody has a testimony, you can choose to be silent. Or you can open your mouth and testify the goodness of the Lord. It's a choice. You can choose to be thankful. The scripture says, be ye thankful. In everything, give thanks. Or you can choose otherwise. You can choose to be thankful only for the good times. In which case, you're not following the admonition of the scriptures. You can also choose to put on sackcloth and ashes. Or you can choose to put on your beautiful garments. These are choices. Which choices are you going to make? Well, I pray that you choose the good stuff. Moses said, I set before you today, life and death. But choose life that you may live. Well, I set before you today elements that can produce joy. Those are testimonies. Those can produce joy. Thanksgiving can produce joy. You know, a posture of gladness can also, you know, cause that joy to spring forth. Just make up your mind that you're going to rejoice in the Lord and in the God of your salvation, no matter what. Praise the Lord. And the Lord will strengthen you. If you have a little joy and you use it in praising the Lord, he'll give you more. To him that has shall more be given, and he shall have the more abundance. You know, that's a premise and a principle that works in just about every sphere. If you are rejoicing, well, you'll always rejoice even more. And God will cause you to rejoice. If you're always sad and morose, unfortunately, you may continue in that state. You know, the law of inertia says, you know, a body tends to continue in whatever state it is in. If it's in motion, it'll continue in motion. If it's at rest, it'll continue at rest. Well, if it's joyful, then it's likely to continue being joyful. And if it's sorrowful, it's likely to continue being sorrowful, unless you break that thing. And let's learn to break it with our testimony, our thanksgiving, and joy and gladness, a posture of joy and gladness, an attitude of gratitude, you know, a lifestyle of thanksgiving and testimony. Even before you see the thing, testify. Glory to God. You know, testify that you are healed. Let the sick say, I am healed. You know, rather than saying, I am sick. You know, don't say you are sick. Rather say that you are healed. Is this then mind over matter? No. We're just saying what the scripture says. Praise the Lord. When you know how to use the word of God, he says in Isaiah 33 and verse 24, these are the inhabitants of the kingdom. The inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. That's right. I'm not going to say that. Don't say it. You know, instead say, I am healed. Let the sick say, I'm healed. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the sorrowful say, I am glad in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. And whatever you don't have, declare that you have it. Praise the Lord. But remember, in the book of Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, powerful verse, which everybody should remember. As a matter of fact, I'm going to use it, give it to us today as a memory verse, because, you know, it's very, very powerful verse. And the Lord said to them, in their own case, you know, it was negative stuff they were pronouncing. Well, and here's what the Lord said. As truly as I live, saith the Lord. Yeah, that's like almost God swearing. You know, that's how serious it is. As you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. That's a powerful thing. I don't speak negativism, or you'll be in that captivity zone all your life. Speak life. Speak positive. The power of life and death are in the tongue. Use it, you know. So, the memory verse for today, Numbers 14 and verse 28. The Lord said, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Unfortunately, they spoke negative things out of their mouth. They said, well, you want us to die here in the wilderness? Well, the Lord said, well, then you will die in the wilderness. You know, all our children, and so whatever negative thing they spoke. Well, you can also speak joy and gladness. You can speak the testimony of the Lord. You know, you can speak these things. Proverbs chapter 6, it tells us in verse 2, thou art ensnared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of your mouth. If the words of your mouth are testimony of the Lord, even when the thing is not anywhere to be found yet, testify of it. The Bible says, well, you are going to be cornered by your own words. That's right. Those words that you say will come upon you, will overtake you. So be careful what you say. You know, and you get up in the morning and say, I name this day praise. I name this day joy and gladness. Well, you know, you might just get it. But you got to believe it. When you say it, don't doubt it in your heart. Jesus said, if you say it, right, and you don't doubt it, but you believe that that thing you said will come to pass, then he said, you shall have whatsoever you say. Powerful. You know, these things are powerful, ladies and gentlemen. But remember, as you have spoken in my ears, at the end of this lesson, I'm going to ask you to repeat that memory verse. You know, what you speak is important. Speak joy, speak gladness, speak testimony, speak thanksgiving. This is the way that Jesus taught his disciples. And it's a lesson that is still with us today. Listen to how he said it. Mark 11 and 23. He said, verily I say unto you that whosoever, you know, that's right, whosoever shall say to this mountain, wow, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. But first, you must have faith in God. He led off that by saying, have faith in God. You say it, and you don't doubt it, but you believe that those things which you said will come to pass, then he said, you shall have whatsoever you said. Praise God. So begin to say good things. Name the day when the day starts. Name it. Hallelujah. Command the womb of the morning. The day is always pregnant with something. Well, what's it going to birth for you? More sadness, more sorrow? God forbid. The day must birth gladness and joy. So you name the day. This is the day of joy. And that's how you name the day. This is the day the Lord has created. Psalm 118 verse 24. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. You name the day. You can even name your life. You can name portions of your house. You can name anything you want. Have the power of the spoken word. When you say it, God said, well, that's what I'm going to do. You can say, this is the house of joy. There's no sickness in this house. You can name it. Sickness, put a sign in front of your house. Dead on arrival, can't enter. Glory to God. You can name it. Hallelujah. You know, you name everything around you. Thy walls are continually before me, the Lord said. You know, well, you can name those walls. When you present, you know, he said that, by the way, in Isaiah 49:16. Yeah, your walls are before me. You know, if you know how to elevate your faith, say, well, you know, what is it? What am I going to say, you know, when I stand before the Lord? Am I going to be all gloomy and so forth and steal the Lord's praises? You know, well, no. Let's praise the Lord. Let's give him what he deserves. Give testimony of his goodness, even when you're going through. Don't wait until you arrive on the other side before you testify. Testify of it now. Becomes a weapon. You know, they overcame devil. You know, if you wait until the war is over, then it's not a weapon. Use it now. Testify of his goodness. Testify and so forth. Behold, I have graven you in the palms of my hand, saith the Lord. Isaiah 49 and verse 16. And thy walls are continually before me. Well, when the Lord's looking at my walls, what's he going to see? Praise. Praise with that for thee, O God, in Zion's. Psalm 65 and verse 1. You know, let the Lord know that when he comes, or he'll find his praise. Jesus even asked one time, when I come, shall I find faith? Well, your answer is yes, Lord. You will find faith. Well, when I come, what shall I find? You will find praise. You'll see it on the door of my house. Praise. All ye that know how to praise the Lord, enter herein. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. The more you know how to praise the Lord, the more that's going to draw his presence. You let him know. Praise is waiting for you today, Lord. I have named this day praise. And if you do, well, God's going to give you reason. Glory to God. Now, so don't name any of your days gloomy and sadness and sorrow. Don't do it. Rivers of Babylon. How shall we sing this song? What do you want to sit down there for? Bible says, shake thyself from the doors. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck. Don't let devil put it. A devil can no longer put those things there and keep you there. He can't put it, but you got to snap out of it. Glory to God. And the more you can exercise yourself in testimony of the Lord, in thanksgiving, exercise yourself in joy and gladness, the more victorious living that you can have. Praise the Lord. All the things, that you want the Lord, you believe God for, you want the Lord to do for you, I declare them with your mouth. Praise God. You got to declare. That's what the Bible says. You declare with your mouth, you are ensnared by it, and God will look at it. Praise God. What you are saying is very important. Praise the Lord. In the book of Isaiah 43, verse 26, he said, put me in remembrance, saith the Lord. Let us plead together. Declare it. And thou mightest be justified. Well, what are you going to declare? You're going to declare negative stuff, or you're going to declare positive stuff? You're going to declare that the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. You wake up in the morning, you declare that for yourself. This day will bring me pleasantness. I call it praise. I call it rejoicing. You can call your afternoon rejoicing. You can call your evening praise. You can call your morning the joy of the Lord. You can call it anything you want. Call it forth. That's how God did things. What he saw in his mind, he spoke it forth. He saw the light. He knew he didn't like the darkness, and he spoke it forth. Let there be light. Glory to God. When you sit in darkness, what are you going to do? Well, here's what Micah said he would do. In Micah chapter 7 verse 8, sitting in darkness is sorrow, depression. You don't think that the Lord is anywhere close. They will tell you. The world is falling apart. Well, he said, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, I'm not going to stay down. I shall arise. Glory to God. And when I sit in darkness, in the days of darkness, when you think the Lord is far from you, he said, no, I know the Lord will be a light unto me. Isaiah said, for I know that the Lord God will help me. Glory to God. Do you know it? Will he help you? Well, then declare it forth. I will not be confounded. I will set my face as a flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. Declare it forth then. Praise God. Show me your faith by your works, James said. Well, show me that you have some faith by your expression of joy, even in the midst of trouble. That tells me you have some faith. Glory to God. You know, but if you wear the long face, if you're like the sad you see, they're always carrying sadness. Sad you see. Yeah, you know, that's all you see around them. Sadness. Sad you see. No, but what will the angel of the Lord see from you? Well, joy and gladness, declaring forth of the word of the Lord. Declare the word of the Lord and let him hear it. Praise God. The more you are able to declare it, well, the more, and you stand by it, the more good things you can see in your life. So that's what we're going to do, some part of it today. And then I want you to do it. Let the joy carry through the rest of the day. Don't let anything set in terms of sadness and sorrow and all these things. No. You know, let's blow that back by the joy of the Lord and by singing even a new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Many scriptures will tell you that. You know, what you want the Lord to do for you, you can even put it into a song. You can begin to sing it. Glory to God. The Lord said, even the things, new things that I'm going to do, well, I declare them before they happen. I'll tell you. Well, you can even declare it in your song. Before they spring forth, I tell it. That's Isaiah chapter 42, you know, and verse 9. Well, you know, if you know how to use that word, you can prophetically declare things that are even yet to come. Praise the Lord. Now, what is your testimony? Is it your testimony that this is the day of praise and this is the day of joy and gladness? Is that your testimony? Yeah, well, you testify ahead of it, then it will bring that joy and gladness to you. Is it your testimony that you are strong in the Lord and the power of his might? Is it your testimony that you are healed if you were sick? Remember, by his stripes, we were healed. Yeah, we were healed, but not everybody is healed. You're only healed, really, when you know how to stake your claim, you know. And upon that which the Lord has already done. I mean, God's done everything, but we don't all get it unless you figure it out and begin to stick your claim on it. That's right. That's when you will get it. So begin to declare it before the Lord. He's listening. As you have said, declared in my ears, even so will I do unto you. Praise God. So, what are you waiting for? Declare the goodness of the Lord with your mouth. Here's another verse in Isaiah 41 and verse 21. Produce your cause, he said. Bring forth your strong reasons. That's right. You know, bring them forth. Show us what will come to pass. And this, you know, yeah, well, you can actually, you know, Psalm 82 says, ye are gods. But if you don't know how to act like it, say you shall die like mere men. Well, act like it then. Speak the word of the Lord. Act like God. God spoke and it was done. He commanded and he stood fast. Well, let's do the same thing. Speak and it shall be done. Glory to God. You know, you can command things. Isaiah, you know, 45, verse 11 will tell you. You say, well, can we really do that? Sure, absolutely. Because God said so. You can do it. You know, God put Adam in charge to do it. And he can do the same thing with us. Thus said the Lord, Isaiah 45:11. Even the Holy One of Israel, he and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. And Joshua figured out how to do it. He spoke to the Lord in the day that he needed more daylight. Well, he said, thou sun and thou moon. Well, the Bible says he spoke to the Lord, but it was really the sun and moon he spoke to. But that's how you command the works of his hands. He said, thou sun and thou moon, well, stand still over the valley of Ajalon. You know? But the scripture reported that he spoke to the Lord. He didn't exactly speak to the Lord. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. You know, and he said in the sight of all Israel. Well, remember, he said he spoke to the Lord. So let's see. Did he actually speak to the Lord? Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon. Well, did he say, Lord, make the sun to stand still? He didn't say that. Did he say, Lord, make the moon to stand still? He did not say any such thing. He spoke to the sun and he spoke to the moon, and the Bible calls that speaking to the Lord, because it is the work of his hand. The sun is the work of his hand. The moon is the work of his hand. Well, God said, command Jimmy. And this man, he said, sun, stay right there. Moon, you stay over there. I got some business to finish. And the Lord hearkened unto him. The sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day, even science. I'll tell you that. And there was no day like that before or after it. Lord hearkened to the voice of a man when he fought for Israel. Well, you know, God won't hearken to anything if you don't voice it out. You know, Joshua had to voice it out, and he didn't do it in a secret either. Bible says, in the sight of Israel, come out and declare it boldly. So you come out and declare the boldness and goodness of the Lord. Another revelation that I shared with you today. You know, name your day. Name the situation that you are confronted with. Name it with the victory of that you are expecting to see. You know, and God will watch over that word. Remember, as you have spoken in my ears, even so will I say unto you, praise the Lord. Here's a scripture I could have given at that time, but let me read it to you as well. That can also help to buttress that point. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 18, how God, you know, says you can change, you know, it's a powerful verse. You can change the situation around you by using names. That's right. He said, let me read it from verse 15 through some verses. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, suck the breast of kings. Thou shalt know that I am the Lord thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the mighty one of Jacob. For brass I'll bring gold, for iron I'll bring silver, for wood I'll bring brass, for stones iron. I will make thy officers peace and thy exactors righteousness. So you can name situations around you, right? Name the situation around you that there will be peace. Name the situation around you with righteousness. Listen to this. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting or destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. I mean, you can name these things in case somebody was wondering whether these are in the scriptures. It's right here. You can name, you know, situations around you. You can give names to them. You know, instead of violence, if you're going through a situation, name the situation something positive. God is saying, you know, you can turn it around. Listen to this also in Isaiah, you know, chapter 62, how God used names. And you know, throughout the Bible, he would change a name, you know, change the name of Abraham to Abraham, you know, also prophetic of what he would do. He changed the name of Jacob to Israel, a prince with God, a power with God, and so on and so forth, you know. Here's another one, you know, where he talked about, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land be any more termed desolate. Isaiah 62 and verse 4. You know, but he changed the name. Be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. Hephzibah is delighted. You know, the Lord delight in you, and Beulah is married. So he said, well, you know, change your name to Hephzibah, which means the Lord delight in you. And change your name to Beulah, which means, you know, married. And he gave them, said, well, as a young man, you know, marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons, you know, future, begin to name certain things. Bridegroom rejoice, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. So you can name your day and your situation joy and gladness. One sister on this platform gave herself the name of Hephzibah. I think one time after she heard me preach about that. And I said, yes, amen to that. You can use the name. You change your name with a name that will bring a change to your situation. These things are scriptural. You know, so let's practice that. And I did emphasize naming your day. You may not have heard that before, but you heard it today. Name your day. Joy and gladness. Name your day with praise. Name even your house. Call the walls of your house salvation. You know, that means everybody in that house will be saved. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. You know, so use these powerful declarations and use the testimony of the Lord to change your story. When you don't even have it yet, say it that you have it. That's what Abraham did. It took him 25 years, but came to pass nonetheless. The Lord allowed those long, you know, waited for testimonies to help us in our time. So when you are waiting for something to happen, name that situation as though it already happened. Praise the Lord. That's the lesson I was trying to convey this morning. I talked about four different things that you can use to bring a change to your situation. The testimony of the Lord, even before the thing is complete or even has appeared at all, even testify about it. So that in the case of Abraham. So use that. Use thanksgiving, you know, because, you know, Jesus said, he that hath shall be given more, you know, the hath shall be given so that he can have the more abundant. And they told him, well, he already has 10. Why are you giving him another one? He said, well, you know, everyone that has shall be given more so that he can have more abundant, you know. And so when you use your testimony, right, and thank the Lord for what he has already done, he will give you reason to have even more thanks. Matthew chapter 13 verse 12 and some other places. It says, whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. So that can, you can use that for your testimony and your thanksgiving. If you give testimony to the Lord said, if you give thanks, he will give you more thanksgiving. You know, that's the way I see that verse. And that's Matthew chapter 13 and verse 12. It's also in Matthew 25 in the story of the talents and so on. But this Matthew 25, I mean 13, regardless of the story of talent, is out there. If you have, you will be given more. You'll have more abundance. If you don't have, though, then what you have might be taken. So be careful now. Always have a testimony, even when you don't seem to have a testimony. You can make a practice of always having a testimony. Testify about that which is not, you know, yet. Because God commands things. Bible says that, you know, even things that are not, you know, God calls them as though they already are. And we can pick up that attribute from God's nature and begin to do, you know, the same thing. You know, God did that, and we can do the same thing also. Praise the Lord. So that was our lesson today. That was just a quick recap. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for your children who are here. Let the sound of testimony redound from their lips. Let his voice of thanksgiving be heard, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, always in their homes and in their lives. The voice of them that shall make merry, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the voice of the mother, that's right, and the voice of the child. The voice of children will be heard. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord wants you to speak it. And when you speak it, the Lord is watching over it. Even the angels are watching, waiting. Jeremiah 33 and verse 11. Joy and gladness. Voice of bride, voice of bridegroom. Voice of those that bring thanksgiving to the house of the Lord. So let it be for you. Determine in your heart that you are going to praise the Lord. Or say, well, you know, even if you say, look, I'll have a testimony when I go to church on the Thanksgiving day. Well, God will give you a testimony then. Praise the Lord. You know, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of the mother, and the voice of children shall be heard, even in your home, in the name of Jesus. See yourself walking down that aisle if you're looking to be married. And declare it. Begin to get your wedding dress and things ready. Glory to God. You know, see that baby coming. Begin to prepare the baby room and so forth. See that, you know, yourself getting that new job. Well, dress the part. Hallelujah. But then you go out and you walk for it. Praise the Lord. God bless everybody with the grace to understand this and to use it to bring yourself greater victories in life, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.